Great. Cool. It's Christmas!
Yay!
Well, nearly. So I don't want to down your spirits. But I wonder what Christmas is like in Aleppo. I wonder what Christmas is like in Turkey at the moment. Not knowing whether you might go into a centre and be bombed. We have missionaries from this church in Ethiopia at the moment. Major, major problems around food, famine, infrastructure not working. We have people in this church working in northern China. In cities where they can't even acknowledge they're Christians. It's too dangerous just to say you're a pastor or say that you go to a church where the police follow them regularly. Go into the businesses that they run. So into all of that, into all that we find ourselves at the moment in this nation, into the real fear that's in this nation at the moment, whether it's Brexit, Donald Trump, Mr. Putin, whatever makes you fearful. I don't think personally I've ever been so concerned about the state of our nation for a very long time, if I'm really honest with you. I find it more scary now than I did 1 or 2 years ago, most definitely. When I see who has power at the moment, I find it quite terrifying. Am I the only one in this room? I've actually sat and thought, I wonder if my son will end up having to go to war. I've had that thought. I never thought I'd think that. So we live in a time that is full of absolute turmoil, don't we? Or am I the only one that feels that? It's turmoil, it's absolute chaos out there, isn't it? So what we've been doing this morning, which is a really, really good thing to do, is we've been focusing a lot in our worship. If you look at the worship, a lot of what the worship was about what God does for us, which is absolutely vital. A lot of it was about that God never lets us down. He's always there. He's totally and utterly dependable, isn't he? About how he wants to woo us, how he wants his fantastic relationship with us. It's a wonderful thing we've done this morning, but it's the first step. And if it stays there, it's just selfish. It's just bless me club. And it's meaningless. If it doesn't have an outward expression, it is totally and utterly selfish. Doesn't mean a thing. It's the bless me club. So at this time of Advent, at this time of Emmanuel, God with us, the most extraordinary thing, the most incredible claim about our faith is that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Isn't that incredible? You see, they could have stayed in heaven and had the greatest party of all time. They got on pretty well, the Trinity. They could have just stayed there. But God realized something needed fixing. So he sent his Son. And through his Son, He created the agents for his change, which is you. It's the church. That was his plan. And that's why, as Ian was saying right at the beginning, the throne, which is such a lovely thought, the throne lies inside of us. Yeah? The throne of God is here, resides in here. That's where it is. It's a place of worship, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
It's inside here, isn't it? So the thing I'm most moved by, excited by, challenged by at the moment is how do we take what's in here, the throne, the beauty of the Lord, all that we know of God that has just been so incredible in our lives, and how do we authentically, how do we in a real, honest way, like one of the songs we were singing was, you know, despite all my mistakes, despite all things, despite all the scars, despite all things that I do wrong, God still is there and wants to send me. Because I don't know about you, but I screw up quite a lot. Perhaps you don't, but I tend to do that quite a lot. So, for too long, what we have stood for, keep doing the next slide, is this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can you be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Salt was a metaphor that the Christ used again and again and again to explain the role of the church and why we're here. The problem with this is that so often we've read this like, oh dear, I'm not salty enough, I can't go. There's been a subtext behind this verse, which basically is, I'm not salty enough. So if I'm not salty enough, oh, I really can't go, I really can't be used. If I'm not pure enough, if I'm not clean enough, if I'm not holy enough, if I'm not kind enough, if I'm not whatever. And we've almost used this verse against us at times in our hearts. But that's not what this verse is about. And often we've been preoccupied in reality with salt and erosion. We've been preoccupied with the fact that the world doesn't sing our song and doesn't even want our song, really. It's deaf. So we end up condemning the world for its lack of saltiness. Jesus did the absolute reverse to that. So can we look at the next slide, please? Next one. Oh, back one, sorry. Jesus said this about us. He said, you are a light of the world, a town upon a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light on a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said, it's not about how good you are. It's just about letting your light out there. It's just about putting it right up high. Because now I can see you all, and you can all see me. It's not about doing this. It's about that. And the way he did it, next slide please, he did it with an angel. So there's these common shepherds in a field. So when the Son of Glory comes, the extraordinary thing is they're terrified. Oh my word. So I said, glory, does it? It said, gory. Oh, great, that's a good typo. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. That's a great typo. There you go. Thank you for pointing that one out. That was a good one. You'll remember that for a long time. You remember that slide now, aren't you? The glory of the Lord. So, they were terrified. So would you be if you saw a 20-foot angel and a whole host of guys behind them and the whole sky filled with light. So the metaphor that they chose, that God chose to use, the way he chose to turn up, was just to be a lot of light. Goes right back to what we just had earlier in Revelation. They were absolutely terrified. They were not encouraged by this at all. They were absolutely scared. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, and listen to what they sing. Listen to what they sing. This is so important. Glory to God in the highest. You'd expect that. Peace on earth. You'd expect that. But listen to this. To men on whom his favour rests. Oh. The first audible message that we hear from God's messengers as his Son enters the earth is two things. Peace and favour to you. That should be our message. Peace and favour to you. God wants to bless you, not for you to be terrified. And we are often terrified because we are so conscious of our sin. And very often, people find it really hard to come into this place because they simply just do not feel good enough. They just feel, I am not worthy. If I come to church, I'm going to get judged. I'm going to get told off. You know, I'll have to give up my out-of-marriage relationship. I'll have to give up smoking, whatever it is. All these things, it's all about what I've got to give up. It's all about what I have to give up, not what I get. Let's look at the next slide. That is very funny, the gory thing, isn't it? I won't forget that. So let's look at being salt for a minute. Next one, please. So this is it for me. Whenever I do anything that costs me, that is really sacrificial for humanity, for my family, for my friends, for my community, when I do the things that really cost me, the driver is compassion. When Jesus saw the multitudes, the driver was compassion. Again and again in Scripture it says, with compassion, Jesus. Compassion, 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 compassion. So, if you and I want to be salt, and salt makes a difference, salt doesn't just preserve those things that are rotting, which is how we think of salt, But you're going to see in a minute, salt does something else as well. But that's how we perceived salt. We thought we're going to be salt, we've got to stop what's going wrong in our society. We've kept talking about everything's going wrong in our society. And we wonder why nobody's listened to us. But the first thing is compassion. And compassion is a foundation stone to courage. There's a process here. You see, if I don't have compassion, I can't risk it. I can't live dangerously. I can't go out on a limb. I can't risk what I might lose or what I might have. And courage is about risking something, isn't it? So when I decide to share my faith or my story with somebody, we all have that moment which is, I don't know if you've heard about it, but I know it's a little bit of swearing, but I think it's very, very funny. There was a bit when President Obama came into power and they suddenly realized the size of the debt, and his treasurer went in and said, "President, this is your holy shit moment, just to let you know. This is when you realize everything has gone really, really wrong. You don't really realize what the Republicans have left us. This is what they've left us." And he called it his holy shit moment. And he talked about actually praying at that moment and God meeting me at that moment. Obama talks about this. And we all have those moments where we just think, "Oh, no." Yes, again, am I the only one? When you want to share or do or be out there or try and care for somebody, perhaps there's a neighbour that's just nobody gets on with and you just know that you're the one that's going to go and talk to them. Perhaps it's that person in your office that everybody thinks is absolutely a pain in the backside, but you know you're the one that's got to go and help them. Yes? Perhaps it's that person that with bumps in takes or nicks your parking place. Whatever your thing is, there's that moment. And so courage comes out of compassion. And what does courage do? Courage transforms lives. So there's a process here of building compassion, then building courage, and through courage, transformation coming in people's lives. And that's exactly the message of the cross, is it not? That he came in compassion. He hung on a cross that took so much courage. And through that courage, he brought transformation. That is the gospel. Compassion, courage, transformation. So here's the question. Which one do you need to be built in today? Which one needs to grow inside of you today? Perhaps you have loads and loads of compassion, but for you, courage is really quite difficult. Or perhaps for you, you're good at being courageous, but you don't actually quite know where to use your courage. You don't quite know where to go. You don't quite know where to go and transform. You don't know where to go and be light and to really change your society. Perhaps there are places where you're really, really aware of where the change needs to take place and you're saying, "I really know that needs to change in my community." Well, perhaps now you can track back and say, "Okay, Father, now give me courage or give me faith to change that community. Okay, so now do a work in me and fill me with compassion." Because the compassion will lead to the courage, which will lead to the transformation. That's what salt looks like. It's lovely, isn't it? So let's look at the next one. I love this image. How many times all got a bucket list? Last place on earth you want to go and see? Name me some of the most beautiful places you've been to in the world. Anybody? Where? Everest. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Anybody else? Niagara Falls. Yosemite. I love Yosemite. Half Dome, I've done that. Grand Canyon. Any others? Beaches of Malaysia. Any others? Petra. Yeah, Petra's amazing. My father was stationed in Petra in the Second World War. I've got a picture of him actually riding out of Petra. on a cavalry horse. It's a bit weird, isn't it? I know. Sorry?
The Alps.
The Alps. Jerusalem. It's beautiful, isn't it? The Garden Tomb is an amazing place. When God made the earth, at the end of it, when he made all the people, all the animals, everything he'd flipping well made, on the seventh day he said, "This is good." He didn't look at it and say, "This bit isn't quite good, that bit isn't quite good." I think it's really easy to see the beauty in those mountains in that view. I think sometimes it's quite hard to see the beauty in a person. It seems very small. I think a lot of people out there that don't appear very beautiful, that are pretty hard to love, that are selfish, arrogant, ignorant, rude. Or am I the only one that comes across such people? So what about me learning at a new level to embrace humanity? What about me learning to change my lens when I see those people? Let's look at the next slide. So I believe this is what we need to do. First of all, we need to go and honour what is good in people's lives. Give you an example, and he won't mind me saying this. One of the directors of our company, who's also one of my best friends, is a guy called Lindsay. The most common word that Lindsay uses begins with F and ends in K, and is in virtually every single sentence that Lindsay uses. He's cynical. He hates Christmas. He gets irritated by stupidity very easily. He's very judgmental. What else can I say about him that's tough to be around? He's all those things. So why do I love Lindsay? So Lindsay's worked with me for 8 years, more than that. And we went through a time recently that was very challenging in our business, literally a few weeks ago. And as a result of that, we'd lost so much money that we had to make a number of people redundant. And we as directors all took a 10% pay cut. We needed to survive. It's turned since then, but it was pretty hairy up to Christmas. I walk into a room and we're discussing it. This is one of the directors. And listen to this. This man says, "I will stay on one condition and one condition only, and I won't tell you the figure because it's private. But basically, I will take a 33% pay cut, or I'm not staying." You see, I think there's a lot of goodness in that man. And he is sat in prayer meetings. It's quite laughable because a lot of our accounts are Christian accounts. And he gets it. And he's seen some very, very poor Christian behavior. And he's seen some very, very good Christian behavior. And he knows the difference. And he knows those that have got something in their heart that is genuine and authentic with God, and those that haven't really dealt with character and stuff at all. He's seen it all. We were once walking through Soho together, as you do, on the way to a bar for our Christmas do, which wasn't in Soho, it was just outside. Could have been, but it wasn't. And as we're walking through, there's another Christian guy in our company at the time, and we're walking through, and Lindsay goes to me, "This little won't like this at all. Watch his little Christian face as I take him through Soho," you see. So we walk through Soho, and the girls are in the, it's all there. magazines, all the joints and everything, all there. So we walk through, you see. So I'm there, and I've got a massive smile on my face. I'm chatting to him, and he goes, you're very relaxed walking through here. I said, yeah. So he said, so what's that about? So I said, well, this is exactly where Jesus would be. And he went, that's why I effing love you so much. He said, I can run with that. He said, you're really comfortable, aren't you? I said, of course I am. This is humanity. This is reality. This is the world I live in. So can we find the beauty? Can we speak up more about what's beautiful in people? Rather than going to Lindsay, stop using the F word. Why don't I go to Lindsay and say, Lindsay, thank you so much for your extraordinary generosity and for the sacrifice you paid for me. Because I think God's more interested in that sacrifice than him using the F word. Far more interested. And I see more Jesus behavior in him than I do a lot of Christians I work with. I see more loyalty. I see more kindness, having said all these things. I see more compassion in him. I see a lot more understanding of what's actually happening in the world, a lot more awareness about poverty, about global issues, and about wanting to do something really tangible to change those things. He's an absolute activist. So for me, I want to encourage you to honour what is good in people's lives. So the next time you look at somebody and you think, do you know what? They seem a really long way from the kingdom of God. I want you to go and seek out what is good in them that God has placed there. And draw that out and reflect that and bring that out. And not get so worried about the stuff that isn't so good. Because that is the love of God. Let's look at the next one, shall we? Bring out the flavour of God. See, I didn't believe that all of a sudden when you become a Christian, that suddenly Jesus pops up in your body and everything changes. I believe that God's been with you right from the day that you were born. He's been doing a work inside of you. I believe his hand's upon you all the way through. It's just suddenly you wake up and you recognize it and you allow him in, you acknowledge it. I believe salvation is a gift. You either take it or you don't take it. It's as simple as that. It's available for everybody. You either take it or you don't take it. Eternal life is there for everybody. You either take it or you don't take it. That's what I believe. So I believe basically that God is moulding and working through the lives of all of my children, of all of my friends, before they even acknowledge who God is. Why? Because intrinsically I believe God's a father and he can't stop fathering. And he only goes to judgment when he really has to. Primarily, he's a father. So I believe all those things, often they're in people's lives. I see things on them and I go, it's really obvious that you are, and I don't use this language because they wouldn't understand it, but you are prophetic or you are pastoral. How many people do you know who don't know the Lord, who are just great carers? Put your hands up. They're pastors. How many of you know people that just really, really carry wisdom? They're just wise people. Come on, put your hands up. They carry the gift of wisdom. They just don't realize it. How many of you do you know people that are just like, think of all those people in our special services, you know, in the police, in the ambulance, in the fire brigade. My God, they're carers. They're activists. They care about these things. God loves that in them. So let's honour it. Let's praise them. Let's encourage them. Let's get behind them. Let's give our money to them. What, outside the church? Yes. I give to Friends of the Earth. Yes. Because I believe in Genesis, what it says in Genesis, that he wasn't just pleased about humanity, he was pleased about the animals and the earth as well. And they seem to do it very well, so I'll give to them. rant over. Get my spirit? Get my heart? Let's look at the next one. Carrying the light. Let's look at the first slide. So, the lovely thing about the Nativity story is it's for everybody. So, the shepherds who saw the gory were actually not middle class. In Jewish culture, one of the most lowly things to do was look after animals. They were actually the ones that were largely excluded from Jewish society. There was nothing lower than looking after animals. It was one of the lowest things. Carpentry, Jesus, middle class job. Shepherding, not. Kings, definitely aristocracy. Old money. Yeah? Downton Abbey. So, these wise men, they travelled so far. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with their mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped it. Quite a different response to light. For some people, when they hear the gospel for the first time, it's just like the lights come on and it's just joy time. But for some, they're terrified. And Jesus came for the terrified and for those who saw the joy. He came for them both. But notice who the manifestations came to first. The broken. That tells something about God's order and justice. That's an interesting thought. So, next slide, please. This is one of my favourite songs from many years ago by Amy Grant. It's called Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet and a Light Unto Thy Path. I want you to think about this. I've got a lamp here in my hand. Should have bought one, probably. When I hold it down low, a lamp unto my feet. In other words, the lamp lights my feet. It lights my path. Yeah? Got it? Lights my feet. It lights where I'm going. When I take my lamp from here up to here, what does it do? What does it do? Spreads the light. Where? Everywhere. Further. It lights my path. For some people, we need to help them just light their feet. Because the next step is so painful, so hard, that if we can just help them walk that next step, that's what really counts, and that's where we need to meet them. For others, life's a bit easier, and it's about saying, do you realise where you're going? Do you realise how this might map out? Do you realise what this looks like? Do you realise what you could do with your light? Do you realise what you could be in God? So here's a good question. Who is it around you that you're called to light their feet? And who is it you're called to help light their path? Jesus came to do both, didn't he? Light of the world, yet change of individuals' lives. So a thing I often pray when I meet somebody new is this is my little prayer. I go, feet or path, lamp or light, Show me, Father. Is it feet or path? Is it lamp or light? What does that person need today? Because not the same every day, because we're all the same. We all have days when flip me, we need it on our feet, don't we? And other days we think, God, we can take the world. Give me the path, give me the path, give me the path. Or am I the only one? Perhaps you all worked it out all the time, but personally I go from... I'm a bit of a yo-yo, I'm like this, really. You know, it's like, oh dear, people path, people path. Is it feet or path? I mean, I don't even driving here, I can have a bit of feet and path. Do you know what I mean? I'm not really sure, you know. Am I going to do well today? Am I not going to? How's it going to? Bit of feet. come on, faith. Okay, path. Okay, feet, path. Am I the only one? Yeah? God meets us in all this stuff, doesn't he? Feet and path. We need both. We need to be both. That's why I love that song so much. Next slide. This man is one of my heroes. He's a guy called Sheridan Voysey. He's an Australian. I know, it's not a great place to say that here, really, is it? But we still love him. And he wrote this. The light that sparkles in a myriad of graceful acts. I love that. I love that. I love the thought that I can walk out on a star-filled night and I can look up and I could just say to Father, Father, show me a grace-filled act. Or I can remember a grace-filled act from one of my friends, from this church, from so many loving people in my life. And I could look at those stars and I could just think, every one of those represents a grace-filled point in my life. I think that's wonderful. So can I throw a few more stars in the sky today? Can I throw up a few more grace-filled acts today? Will that bring some light to somebody? Just a grace-filled act. Just an act of kindness. Just letting somebody out in the traffic. Just not barging in the queue at Tesco's. Which, of course, is the most demonic place on earth, as far as I'm concerned. Boots is even worse. The walls come in at Boots, I've decided. There are demons that push the aisles in. I think Boots is demonized. I hate it with a passion. Yes? Give me Ted Baker any day from Boots. Or Paul Smith. Anything, but not Boots. We all have our places where it closes in on us. It's difficult. All joking. Primark. Yeah. But can we move to grace-filled acts? Can we just throw another star in the sky? Because we all know what a star's for, don't we, in biblical terms. What's a star to do? It's a sign. It leads you to the Christ. That's what a grace-filled act does. It just leads you to the Christ. It's just another star to put up there. Bit more light. Bit more brightness. Next one. I love this from Daniel. Read that. Isn't that the most wonderful verse? That is becoming my favourite verse. My favourite, one of my favourite Old Testament verses. I've only discovered it from reading this book a few weeks ago. And it's absolutely impacted me, this verse. It's been living inside of me, day in, day out. When I was 15... I had a very, very bad stutter. By the time I said good morning, it was good afternoon. It was really bad. I grew up with severe dyslexia. I grew up in a loving home, but I was massively bullied at school physically, beaten up a lot at school. And I was in the remedial set for everything. I couldn't read properly till I was about 15. I was a mess. I was broken. At 16, two things happened that changed my world. There's one thing I could do really well. I could draw. Because I couldn't read and I couldn't write very well, I could draw. And boy, could I draw. So I got to art college. And then forget it, I opened the doors, walked into art college, and I suddenly thought, literally these are my words, my God, a room full of people like me, I feel I found home. They were dressed like me. They liked what I liked. They were interested in what I was interested in. At the same time, another door opened in my life, which was called the church. And I found a group of people that just loved me for who I was. So this boy of 16, who had a very bad speech stutter, who couldn't read very well, who just about scraped together 4 O-levels, just about, skimmed into art college, was in a meeting. And a man called Gerald Coates, who some of you know, pulled the little boy out and said, "And as for you, you will create lifeboats that will save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And you will understand how to launch and build fleets of lifeboats. You will understand all of that. And you will do all of that." By the time I was 21, I was on the leadership team here. By the time I was 30, I was leading the church. Which isn't that smaller than it is now, actually. I was leading prayer meetings at the Albert Hall with 5,000 people in them. Me, the stutterer. Leading a prayer meeting at the Albert Hall. I was leading leaders' conferences with 1,000, 1,500 people in it, regularly. I was hoping to see a network of 60,000 people in churches. I'd created some lifeboats. Why? Because somebody looked at me, didn't see the stammer, didn't see the dyslexia, but saw something on me. The God was on me. I want you to close your eyes. And I want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you now and to show you some people that you just need to go and be a star to and bring some light to. And when you have a name, I'd like you to stand. If you don't have a name, that's absolutely fine, because some of us process this stuff quickly and some of us need to go away and really work it through. It is not wrong to stay seated in your seat. You're not less of a person. You just process that way. Okay? You're a considered person. And you're going to go away and you're going to think and think and think and think. And in the end, the name's going to come to you. So don't get condemned. You don't get a name now. That's not what this game's about. It's not a game. But for some of you today, it will just go, that's it. Perhaps it's a name. Perhaps it's a people group. Perhaps it's a neighbour. As I've spoken, that name's been in your heart, and you thought, that's the one. That's the one. Okay? Stand when you're ready. So the gentleman at the back, you really carry justice really, really strongly. So I'm just going to say some things that I see, that I feel. You know, I was talking at the beginning about how God puts these things in people from the day they were born. And I just want to say what I see. You really carry justice. You hate injustice. You hate it when somebody gets abused, bullied, cheated, done on. You have a great heart for people, for the underdog. You always have done. And you quietly, you don't make a big meal out of it, but you quietly, you get very angry inside and you want to go and help them. You need to know that is God's Holy Spirit inside of you, and it's very, very powerful. And God says, thank you, sir. Thank you for the times you stand up for people. And God says, I want to give you more compassion and more courage, because that slide really hit you when that one came up. And through that, more transformation. Lady in the intercessor, the prayer at the back. Lady that's always praying. Spirit of prayers all over you. You, yeah, you. Me, yeah, you, yeah. You're going, oh, I don't pray very often. You're going, he's got it wrong. I'm not the prayer. I'm not the one that's always praying all the time. You carry so many people in your heart. That's prayer. Now, you may not sit and pray for ages. You may not go into these big spiritual moments and pray a lot. But boy, do you carry people. Boy, do you love humanity. Boy, how often in a day do you have a thought about somebody and you just think, oh, I'm really concerned about that person. Really concerned. It happens to you again and again and again and again. And particularly as a member of your family, of your intimate, close family at the moment, who you're really carrying in prayer at the moment, who's going through some deep stuff. And you need to know that Father's on your number and that grace is coming to that person. Grace is coming. Grace is coming. I know it's been a very long time. It's been a hard journey, but you need to know that grace is coming. So he's not finished with him yet, is he? We talked about it earlier, and that's between you and I what we're talking about. You're going to see a big breakthrough in the next 6 months. There's going to be a sign to you, and you're going to remember this moment as I click my fingers. There's going to be one, two, three signs, three things that you're going to see. And they're going to be quite small, so don't expect the big thing, but then you're suddenly going to go, hang on a minute, one, two, three. And that's when you need to start having different conversations and be bolder and be more courageous. Because you've done a lot of compassion, but actually what God's... Can we go back to that slide, the compassion, love, transformation? What God is calling you to now, darling, is calling you to more of this. You've been doing a lot of this, you see, and now he's calling you to this. And as you move more to that space, you will see this. Gentleman in the red sitting down. Okay, so you're somebody that you really like things done properly. You don't like when people mess around or they dick around or they screw up. You want things done properly. And you're somebody that really likes bringing order and really likes things to be done properly in the right way. And God loves that in you, because God loves order. And there are places where you're seeing disorder at the moment and you are nailing it and you're saying, this cannot carry on like this, particularly in your place of work. And you need to know that God is saying, well done. You need wisdom to know when to speak and when to be silent. But God loves your heart. And you carry far more of Jesus than you realize. and you keep underdoing yourself about the amount of Jesus that you carry, you carry shed loads of it, mate. It's in your eyes. You have a massive heart, particularly for those that get... can I use polite language? Dumped on. God loves that. So, a bit more courage, mate. A bit more courage. Why don't you just pray for the person next to you as we close now? Because we're nearly at past. Just pray for the person next to you. It's not all about me. Just minister to the person next to you. Just quietly pray for the person next to you. Say, what is it for me today that's happened? Just go and pray with somebody. And if you're an odd number, go into a 3.